You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Vincent Forese on the line, and he's president of Link Systems International. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Vinny. So I've been excited to get you booked on this show for a long time. I know that you will be an author that in one of our upcoming Mission Matters books. For those that have been watching or listening to this show for a long time, these are my favorite episodes. Just to let you know, it's going to be a little bit of a teaser episode. So we'll go a little bit into what Vinny's going to bring to the table in terms of his writing and some of his ideas. But we'll be also be bringing Vinny back on the show for a second deep dive once the book is live. So we're not going to give you everything here today. But just to get us kicked off, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Vinny, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Vinny, what mission matters to you?
Well, you know, there were a few things that I've wanted to write about. You know, as we get older, we start thinking about leaving something behind. The thing that I sort of clung on to was something that I've been thinking about for a long time. It's this sort of concept of whether or not you're really all in. And that's what my contribution to this upcoming book is. And really what that means is, you know, I'm getting longer in the years. And so a lot of folks will come to me and they'll ask me questions and, you know, hey, I got this idea and this is what I'm thinking of doing. Or, you know, they'll be in some phase of either starting a business or thinking about starting a business. And you know, they want, you know, if my product is this or if my product is that or if this, that and this thing, you know, what can I do? What can I do to ensure its success? And I tell them all, like, you just got to be absolute sure that this is what you want to do, that you know what you're getting into, and that not only are you going to be all in on this, but the people that you depend on, the people that you love, the people that you think love you, they also have to be sort of all in. And that can mean a lot of things. And some of what those things meant to me is what I wrote about. And you know, I'm sure there are other things where other people can interpret that. But dedication to your mission is often more important sometimes than the mission itself. And that's sort of how I approached this.
Man, I love your angle, all in. So I'm working on another book, and one of my, there's different ways to say all in. I was working on one of my other, and writing another piece, and my title was Jumping Off the Ledge. ways to look at this, but all the same thing. Like, if you don't have that dedication, if you don't have that commitment, if you're not all in, to use your words, you need that extra ounce of energy, right?
That's right. Anyway, you know, and you know, people will say things like jumping off the ledge.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about the ledge.
Yeah.
And what they're not thinking about is immediately after you jump off the ledge, you're now in a spiraling free fall towards your impending doom, looking up at that ledge that was very safe and comfortable that you've now left. Right. And so that's really, you know, there's a lot of euphemisms and things like that you can use to talk about what it means. And, you know, it all is just another way to say it. And, you know, and it's more than, you know, if I can just back up a little bit. You know, because one of the things that, you know, I like to remind people is that, you know, the word entrepreneur means a lot. You know, a high school kid who, you know, she's doing a paper route, shoveling driveways in the winter and mowing lawns in the summer. Well, that's an entrepreneur. You know, somebody who, you know, one of your former colleagues back from your Wall Street days who raises, you know, $40 million of venture capital, hires the best and brightest students out of the Ivy League and sort of builds a business that's almost guaranteed to succeed. You know, that's an entrepreneur. You know, and I sort of, you know, my sweet spot is sort of, you know, in the middle, people who aren't sole proprietorships or small partnerships, you know, people who aren't the service. You know, if you're a plumber or electrician and you have your own business, I mean, that's a great career. And, you know, and I encourage a lot of people to get into trades, and ultimately you want to do that by yourself. But that's not sort of the, you know, the entrepreneur I'm talking about is somebody who's trying to build a business, you know, trying to get a business, you know, whether it's a $5 or $10 million business or a $20 to $50 million business, where they're running every component of the business. And so maybe they were good at computer programming, or maybe they were a good salesperson, but now they find themselves having to learn and understand marketing, learn and understand accounting. Yeah. And, you know, and you can say to yourself, well, I'll just bring on an accountant and they'll just do it for me. Yeah. But the fact is, you know, I can't count the number of people who are robbed blind by giving the, you know, check signing authority away to somebody who, you know, came recommended from somebody else, but somebody who they didn't know. And so really, you know, you have to learn all the components, you know, and a lot of people who started, I know you did this when you started Mission Matters, you know, you're answering the phone, you're changing the toilet paper in the bathroom. I mean, right. You know, there's nobody, when you look around and there's nobody else to do any of these things, you know, you're doing it and then you're building it and then you're bringing more people on and you're growing your sales team. But you can never really let go of it until you get to a certain comfort level.
Yeah.
And the question becomes is, well, when is that comfort level happening? And I've been doing this stuff for 35 years, and I'm still waiting to till I reach comfort level where I can just, you know, not pay attention anymore, golfing and boating every day and just watch the business just run itself and, you know, and cash those checks. Like, I'm still waiting. And I know most of the folks I know sort of in similar size companies, you know, they don't see when they can just let go. Basically, when you finally get to the point where you can sell it, right? That's that's when you can let go. Although, you know, a lot of us crawl back up to the top and then jump right off that ledge again the second time.
I've seen it.
It's a lifestyle, being all in. It's not a thing you can just do. You know, people like to say things, you know, I play hard and I work hard and I sleep hard and that's how I live my life. And, you know, and I think that there's something to it, but just that ability to commit to something, whatever it is, and just, you know, you see it through, you show up, whether it's parenting or entrepreneurism or volunteer work. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And Vinny, you just took me back in history. First off, couldn't have built or done any of this without our other co-founder here, Chirag Sagar. So he has his own stories from the earlier days. But my story, like, you know, as we were talking, so on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm pretty much interviewing people all day long. Like, that's our clients, show hosts, all these different things. Like, I'm doing interviews. But in the early days, like, my first great hire, his name was Julius, and he was our first editor in the early days. I'd record the show, we'd be done, I'd edit it, I'd distribute it, we're doing everything, right? Like, that was the early days, and that was the start. So when you talk about that, you're taking me back in time, man. I'd be tired. I'm editing, listening to the show, doing all the other things. But, you know, the process, it's so interesting. Like, those that go through that process and get to really know their businesses, when they, as they hit and achieve these next levels, it's not about having other people bring other ideas. Of course, that's how you innovate. That's how you can, you know, grow faster and do a lot and add a lot of value by getting the input of others. But there's something to be said for having some of those early, let's just say, growing pains, right?
That's right. Well, you know, I just, you know, just to use your example about editing. Now, if you're an actor being hired to work on a Jerry Bruckheimer set, you don't think about editing because you know that guy's already got the best and the brightest, and that's really not your job as an actor. But when you're starting out and you hire your first editor, you need to know exactly what you want that person to do. You can't rely on your first hire to edit towards your version, your vision, if you hadn't had to go through that process to learn editing yourself. Now, of course, you probably were a little annoying when you first hired him because you're just like, well, what about this? What about, he's like, hey, I thought I was hired to do this.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of were, but I'd still like to stand over your shoulder for a few minutes. And that's really the, you know, not being able to just simply walk away until you have faith that, you know, that you and he or she are in agreement that you're going to do sort of what we've decided we want to do because this is how we're going to grow the business. And that responsibility, and if you have a partner, that's even better, but the responsibility of, you know, what are we going to do and how are we going to make sure that we're all facing the same direction, we're all marching at the same cadence, and that is that's not a part-time job, and that's not even a full-time job. That is, you know, it's a lifestyle. Yeah. It really is. And if you know, and this is the, you know, kind of going back to you asked me sort of what people ask me. You know, what I warn folks is if you think you're going to do this and be successful, but also not miss, you know, your kids' swim meets, or you know, not be late for birthdays, or not have to change vacation plans because a huge opportunity came up and you're just going to have to kick that Disney trip out 3 months, it'll be super hard to succeed. Because the idea that, well, I planned this vacation, I'm going to go on this vacation, and therefore I'm just going to go send the person I hired to do presentations or the person I hired to do sales for me, especially in early stages of a company, that is a kiss of death right there. And even if you get away with it once or twice, in the long run, you know, it's you. You're the entrepreneur. It's your vision. It's your plan. And without you, you know, things will get lost in translation.
Let's take a step back here for a moment. So tell us a little bit more about how you got started as an entrepreneur. Like, what did your journey look like?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I've never really felt like I was an entrepreneur. You know, I got a job in college working for an MIT economist. You know, it was a small company that he ran. I learned an awful lot. I mean, there's things that he taught me about how to forecast sales and how to project business with customers. And some of those things I still use today. You know, but he also ran it very selfishly. It was his company. You know, it was very clear to people that were there that, you know, you weren't part of the success. You know, there was a, you know, I think at one point he had a stock option plan, but it was very clear that this was never something that he was going to sell because the company was him. He was the brand, the thing. And so, and then, you know, and I left there with some of the folks that had worked at that company. And I started a small software company in Atlanta. You know, there was five of us, a president and four vice presidents. And we rented a house in Roswell, Georgia. And I was the receptionist, the vice president of sales, the chief financial officer. You know, there was a husband and wife that there. And, you know, we had Brave season tickets. So we went to a lot of Atlanta Brave games together. She made us lunch every day. So it was very close and tight knit.
Wow.
And we came out with a really cool productivity software suite. And it took us a couple of years to develop. And from the time we started into the time we ended, and this was a DOS-based product, sometime in the middle, Windows 3.1 came out and made everything we had done completely obsolete. We basically had to start over because nobody, once Windows 3.1 came out, DOS software died a very, very quick death. It wasn't long before everything was Windows-based. And of course, you know, Mac had come along during the same time. But the idea that you were writing that kind of software, so, you know, another quick lesson learned. You know, the greatest idea isn't always a great idea. And so, you know, that that company floundered, but I managed to find us a customer who hired us to write custom software for his company. And so again, you know, not really an entrepreneurial thing. I'm just selling stuff. And eventually he made me a proposition that if I would move out to New Mexico to work for him, he promised me that I would be allowed to continue to hire my friends to develop software for us, which was kind of my full-time job at that point was selling him our services. So I could go work for him and continue to buy services from them. The net benefit to them would ultimately be the same. They wouldn't have to pay me my salary. He'd pay my salary. And so I moved out to New Mexico and we did that for a few years. Again, another Brandt, you know, retail software genius who was selling it at one point. We had a five CD-ROM box set that had math software, algebra, algebra 2, geometry, trigonometry, and calculus. And 1 year back in the mid-90s, we were the second best-selling educational software product behind Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Wow.
Again, so I just kind of learned, and as I grew, you know, my responsibilities grew. So I didn't even realize how much entrepreneurial skill set I developed, how I was able to manage the support team, the developers, sales and marketing, business development. I was kind of learning these things. Mm-hmm. And then we sold that company to the Learning Company. And I should also point out that in Boston, I had a girlfriend. She moved to Atlanta to become my fiance. While we were in New Mexico, she became my wife. And when we took the job that I'm currently in 25 years ago, she was the mother of my oldest. And so, you know, one of the things I also mentioned, I spent a lot of time talking about, and I mentioned it earlier today, is that when you talk about you being all in, it's got to be you and everybody that you love and that you think loves you. And I never could have done this, without, you know, and I'll say support, although she wasn't always supportive. You know, sometimes she thought I was completely out of my mind. Sometimes she thought I was making financial decisions on behalf of the companies I worked for that were very detrimental to our own personal financial situation. Mm-hmm. But I always said, you know, we're going to build it. We're going to keep building and building and building. And someday we'll get to where we're comfortable. And, you know, now we're a little comfortable. But and then I moved out to Tampa, Florida, and I started working for Link Systems. Again, there was a couple founders. Now, at this point, I'm in my early 30s. And I feel like I've got quite a good resume about how to run a business. And, you know, within a few years, the founders opted to be bought out. They didn't really want to continue to do the entrepreneurial thing. And so I've been in charge. That was in 1999.
Yeah.
I've been running this company ever since.
Wow. What an amazing story. And one of these, one of the themes that I noticed, and we all go through this, but are these kind of turning points, or I guess the word of the day is pivots, right? Like all these things, especially the early days when you're all, everybody's working on this, then it switches from DOS and you're like, uh-oh, like didn't see that one coming. Thanks, Windows. As you've kind of gone through some of these pivots, I mean, obviously we get stronger, but like what kind of things, if you could go back and maybe give yourself some, you know, some tips, you know, some words of advice with the benefit of hindsight, right? What kind of things would you tell yourself throughout some of these maybe crucial pivoting moments?
Right. Well, ironically, because as I mentioned, like I didn't figure all of this being all in out thing out until very much later in life. I would have loved to have somebody to remind me. And then you know, if you're committed, and it doesn't mean there's not a time to call it quits, right? I mean, sometimes you got to know and to show them, you got to know and to fold them, and that's real. But if your mindset is, you know, we're going to figure this out, we're going to be successful, and everybody around you is equally committed to figuring this out, you know, figuring it out is kind of the easy thing. You know, you can panic, you can say all is lost. You know, my idea is ruined. It was my only good idea. You know, but honestly, if you have only one really good idea, you know, the entrepreneurial path is going to be very long. You know, you need to have a lot of good ideas. They're not always product ideas. Sometimes they're cash flow ideas or the lack of cash flow ideas or how I'm going to make this work or how I'm going to make this customer forgive us and win the customer back or, you know, whatever that looks like. But, you know, really, you know, patience is another, I think, great piece of being all in. You know, if you're in it for the long haul, then you really shouldn't be looking at the short haul. I mean, it's the advice you give to, you know, any young person starting work when they invest in the stock market. Don't look at it. Don't look at it every day. Don't worry about it. If you read that the market crashes and you're 32 years old, don't worry about it. Just keep investing, keep putting in the, now, you know, if you're a few years away from retirement, maybe you should look at it, right? Maybe worry about it. That's probably not a terrible way to manage your money. But when you're starting out, and I think the same thing is true with, you know, running a business, you can't get caught up in the highs and the lows of day to day. You know, it doesn't mean you don't celebrate wins, and it doesn't mean you don't lose when there's losses, and it doesn't mean, you know, you don't have some empathy for the people around you. But if you're the person who whose shoulders the burden lies on, you know, one of the things I talk about people here is, you know, it's I sit alone on decision making island. You know, I can pull in people, I can ask folks for their opinion. But at the end of the day, you know, there's no place for me to go to get somebody else to make a decision for me. You know, except my, you know, I will admit my 21-year-old son certainly believes he's now fully qualified to answer all of life's problems and tell me everything I need to know.
Come on. We thought the same thing at 21. It's okay.
Absolutely. but the reality is, and so, you know, if you're going to have to live and die sometimes with your decisions all the time, and no matter how much you try to get other people to help you figure out what you might do, you know, those decisions sit with you. And if you're lucky enough to have a partner, but even then, sometimes, you know, you look at each other and you're just like, hey, buddy, this is your call. Like, this is your side of the business. You have to make the decision because I don't have all the information you do. And therefore, you just can't live and die by the short-term results of those decisions. So,
yeah, it's great. Great words here. And you said a whole lot. I hope our listeners go back. You might want to re-listen to that part of the segment. Lots of knowledge over years of experience there. I want to switch focus slightly here. I do want to spend some time talking about Link Systems International. So you mentioned it earlier, but maybe tell us a little bit more about the company.
Sure. You know, and it's a great example of a lot of things I talked about. So, you know, we're in the educational technology space. So we basically have, you know, software services and solutions that are all designed to help students succeed. And so the types of students that we help succeed are ones who don't have the natural support system to get through K-12 and higher education. So these tend to be lower income, you know, first generation college students, you know, immigrants who English isn't their first language. And so, you know, they go to schools that have less resources. And so if the districts can find the money to spend on things like what we do. So, for example, one of our things is NetTutor. We're an online 24-hour live tutoring homework help system. So, you know, middle school, elementary school students use us, a lot of high school, community college. And then, of course, you know, four-year schools can use us. We, you know, and the difference is, you know, we're community college. You know, students might struggle from fundamental, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, what taught out of their public schools isn't really enough to sort of get them over the hump to take a college algebra class or an English composition class. Whereas maybe in a business school, if you're trying to get a marketing degree, you know, and I mentioned when my children, three of my daughters go to Florida State, you know, to get any business degree, you have to take accounting, calculus, and statistics. So even if you want to get a marketing degree. And so for a lot of people, those are the courses that tend to be treated as weed out classes and difficult. So, you know, we provide live expertise. You know, we don't give answers. We don't do your homework for you. We don't write for you, but you come online, you know, and we know the school you're coming from. We have some idea of the class you're taking, and we'll talk through the problem. A lot of it is empathy. You know, just helping them, you know, we'll say, you know, what are you struggling with? You know, like, I'm not good at math. You know, that's a lot of people. They have that obstacle where they're starting math by just assuming they're not good. And we'll walk them through this. We'll help them figure out how to approach the problem, how to find other resources, other help. And, you know, we'll get them to that aha moment where they'll, I think I get this now. And then they'll leave. And sometimes they'll stay away for a while and they'll just do work on their homework themselves. Sometimes they'll come back the next day and they're like, oh, I still have more questions. And so that's a, you know, very, very fulfilling thing. You know, lots of letters from lots of students over 25 years who said, you know, I never, ever, ever would have gotten, you know, a college degree if it wasn't for your guys' help. You know, not the kind of business I would recommend you start if you're looking to get really rich really fast. You know, our customers are public school systems and state college systems. And so these are, you know, they're very conservative with their spend. And so those are the kinds of things that we do to really help students.
It's interesting because it kind of, when I look at your career, you know, over the course of our conversation, it's kind of comes full circle, right? From the early days of math software and the really, you know, early days of software, what it looks like now to a robust platform that is really able to help entire school systems. So an enterprise level solution. I mean, it kind of comes full circle, doesn't it?
It is. It's definitely, you could argue that I've had the same job since I've been 20 years old. I just keep moving around and the people change. But, you know, just sort of trying to figure out how to use technology to help people, you know, and help them sort of improve the quality of their own life through education has certainly been a key focus of mine. And something that I'm, you know, I'm very proud to do. And I've enjoyed it and a lot of success stories.
Amazing. Well, Vinny, just want to say it's been great having you on the show. I'm excited to get you published, to publish your work and your writing, and to learn more about your concepts of All In. And of course, to have you back on the show, because once the book is live, as I mentioned before, we will be bringing you back on the show to do a real deep dive into your writing. But that being said, I mean, a lot of things going on your end in the education space and otherwise. What's next for you?
You know, on a personal note, my fourth child just graduated high school. And so my wife and I are, the day after she graduated high school, all four of my children somehow were all back in my house and all slept over. So,
what a blessing.
It was like an empty nester, and I looked around and I was like, I do not know yet. but my wife and I are very much looking forward to sort of the next phase in our life when, we can pick up and travel and do things. And every time we do something, we don't have to buy six tickets for it. And I suppose, maybe someday over, you know, no time soon, but I suppose we're looking forward to being a grandparent someday, but I'd like to hold that off as long as I can. You know, and on the work side, I mean, you know, I think we've built something really good and, you know, it's very sustainable and there's still a lot of room to grow. COVID taught a lot of schools who weren't prepared online that they needed to be prepared online. Mm-hmm. So I think that's changed a lot of attitudes. You know, I think, you know, doing things like this online mm-hmm. These things weren't very common 3 years ago. And now you're yeah. seeing more and more of these types of things. You know, podcasts were, but those are mostly audio. And I think the idea that you can get to know somebody and have an interpersonal relationship with them online using video, I think is much more acceptable now. It's not perfect. And yeah. so I think things like tutoring and other online services, I think are going to continue to grow. And, you know, our job is, you know, our goal is to continue to be a market leader there and just continue doing more of what we've been doing.
Fantastic. And excited to have you part of the Mission Matters community here. I can tell you that. If somebody wants to connect and to learn more about Link Systems International, I mean, how do they do that?
My Twitter feed is at Foris, my last name. So you can always contact me through Twitter. But our company is www.link-systems.com. And from there, you can get to all of our products and solutions, as well as find a directory of employees here if you wanted to connect with anybody. Yeah. And we'd be happy to talk to you. And I will say the other thing that we love to do is build community. Mm-hmm. So we do have a number of consortia of, you know, customers who share what we do with each other, where we kind of take a step back and let them kind of figure out what the best practices are. You know, one of the things that I have learned is that I don't have the answers and that while I can certainly preach what I think everybody should do, it's much better if people sort of figure that stuff out on their own. And that's sort of our approach to education.
Fantastic. And we'll put all those links to the website and all that good stuff in the show notes so that our audience can just click on it and head right on over and check out what you're up to. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, we're a platform that's all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share, you know, their expertise, their background, of course, their mission and why they do what they do and what can we all learn from that. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, we welcome you hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals just like Vinny coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Vinny, until the next time, really, it's been great having you on the show. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I had a good time.